For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Harrisonburg lays off part-time staff because of the pandemic, predicting a $4 million budget shortfall this year. Harrisonburg joining Stanton in a similar decision they made last month. Meanwhile, Governor Northam says some businesses in Virginia may be able to open by the end of next week. And in response to having to stay at home and the empty egg section at the local grocery store, more people are getting their own chickens. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, May 5th. Harrisonburg is laying off part-time staff because of the pandemic. On late Monday afternoon, city spokesman Michael Parks said the layoffs of most part-time employees is part of a broader effort to reduce costs. Harrisonburg, like most localities, has lost revenue due to the economic impact of the new coronavirus. The city estimates it will lose up to $4 million in revenue this fiscal year, which ends June 30th. The decision is similar to a decision that Stanton City made in April to lay off dozens of part-time employees. In southwestern Virginia, Abingdon announced a similar decision on Monday. Some businesses in Virginia may be able to open by the end of next week. Governor Ralph Northam made that announcement on Monday. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports.
Northam has extended his executive order that closes gyms, salons, sit-down dining, among other businesses, to next Thursday.
But the message today is that we will reopen Virginia next Friday.
That doesn't mean fully reopen. Virginians will still be encouraged to stay home, and there will still be a ban on gatherings of 10 or more. The state is expected to release guidelines detailing what this next phase will look like for many businesses in the coming days.
It means you can go out to eat again, but restaurants will use less of their seating so to spread people out more. Employees will wear face coverings, and they'll do more cleaning. Phase one means more retail establishments can be open, but they'll have to operate at lower capacity.
The virus hasn't gone away, but according to state officials, the growth rate of new cases may be slowing. Northam says this first phase of relaxed restrictions could last 2 to 4 weeks if those trends continue. I'm Mallory Nopain.
How many cases of coronavirus are in your neighborhood? Localized data on the pandemic have been difficult to come by. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
How many cases of COVID-19 are at your local nursing home? State officials will not release data that details numbers at specific congregate care facilities, which has been frustrating to people like Senator Scott Sorvel. He says the section of the code at issue does not prevent the state from releasing a list of every facility in Virginia and how many cases are there.
The sentence that they're relying on to say that congregate care facilities cannot release that data, I believe, applies to scenarios where the health department releases data to third parties for purposes of studies. I do not think it applies to what the health department can say about congregate care facilities.
The problem is that the code seems to give facilities the same right to privacy as individuals.
But really, the law should not have been written that way.
That's Delegate Patrick Hope.
Privacy is about protecting the individual, not the facility. Some facilities are doing the right thing and they're disclosing this information, but most facilities are not doing it. And so if that's what it takes for us to change the law, I think we should do that.
Lawmakers are expecting a special session to deal with a budget revenue reforecast, and many lawmakers believe it'll be an ideal time to make sure the health department has the authority to release more information about how many cases are at specific facilities. That's already the case in many other states. Michael Pope.
Customers of Dominion Energy can expect their bills to increase by an average of about 3% annually over the next 10 years as the company changes its generation mix to comply with new renewable energy mandates. Virginia's largest utility included that finding in the Integrated Resource Plan it filed with regulators on Friday. That filing is a long-range planning document that outlines several options for meeting customer needs in the coming decades. Environmental advocates say the company's plan relies too heavily on natural gas at a time when climate change makes it imperative to move quickly toward all renewable generation. Time now for the latest installment of our series from Virginia Public Radio, answering listener questions about COVID-19.
This is the COVID-19 Minute, expert answers to your questions. A listener asks how often the new virus puts people in the hospital. At Virginia Commonwealth University, Dr. Gonzalo Behrman estimates 1 in 5 need that level of medical care.
Only about 20% of patients infected with the novel coronavirus will end up in hospitals. It means 80% are not hospitalized and have milder disease. The duration of symptoms is usually 5 to 7 days, with up to 14 days being kind of the longest variety that we've seen.
And fewer than 20% of those who are hospitalized require the use of a ventilator. Another listener asks if people on a ventilator are in a coma. Not exactly, says UVA's Dr. Tyson Bell.
Your throat is a very sensitive structure. So when we put a breathing tube down, a literal piece of plastic, it's very uncomfortable for patients. They are having to need sedation, meaning medicines to make them comfortable, and those medicines do induce a coma-like state.
But it's not a coma, a broad term that means someone's unconscious. People on a ventilator are conscious, but sedation leads to amnesia, so patients usually don't remember much about this phase of treatment. What other therapies are available to the sickest patients? In a study of more than 1,000 people, a medication called remdesivir shortened recovery time for hospital patients by 31%, 11 days versus 15. We'll look at two more promising options, the use of convalescent plasma and stem cells, in our next report. I'm Sandy Houseman with the COVID-19 Minute.
The U.S. Justice Department is backing a legal effort to overturn Virginia's temporary ban on religious gatherings. The department filed papers on Sunday supporting a Chincoteague church in a legal battle with Governor Ralph Northam over his stay-at-home order. The church was cited by police last month for violating the emergency order. That rule bans in-person religious gatherings and other groups of more than 10 people. The Justice Department argues Northam has not shown why churches should have to close when some establishments, such as hardware stores, are allowed to host more than 10 people. A spokesperson for Attorney General Mark Herring accused the Justice Department of trying to undermine rules that save lives. Dena Reed is mayor of Harrisonburg. I spoke with her yesterday morning before the city announced that it was laying off most of its part-time workers. I started by asking Mayor Reed for her view on why Harrisonburg has had one of the highest concentrations of COVID-19 reported in Virginia.
Well, there are a number of factors that could contribute to that number, one of which is, of course, the outbreak that occurred at Accordius Health. That accounted for roughly 100 positive cases, or nearly 25% of all of our positive tests. And you also have to factor in the amount of testing that has taken place here, such as every resident at Accordius Health Center was tested for the virus. And that was one of the first times that full testing has taken place at a Virginia long-term care facility. We should expect over the next several days, our numbers will go up because of the free testing in the two communities that we had this past Saturday. So all of that being said, we have seen too many positive tests here, and we need everyone to follow the correct steps to help reduce the spread in our city.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that testing on Saturday. The city sponsored mobile testing units in a couple of neighborhoods. One of them was the Mosby Court area and also the Northeast neighborhood. Can you tell me a little bit more about how that went and if you plan on expanding it?
So that effort was a partnership between the city, the state, and Sentara Healthcare that looks to increase testing and awareness in diverse communities. The testing, as you stated, was in Mosby Court and actually my neighborhood that I grew up in, the Northeast neighborhood. The testing of both communities were very successful. I was there, me and Vice Mayor Romero was present at Northeast, but we also visited Mosby. We had 83 people who tested total and in those communities. These sites were selected because of their cultural diversity, and we will continue to work with the state to get more tests for similar neighborhoods in our city.
Is that partly due to some of the reporting that we're seeing? And of course, this is around the country, but also in Virginia, that communities of color are getting hit harder by COVID-19. Is this part of a process that the Virginia Department of Health is taking part in to address that issue?
Absolutely. And we're very aware of that. And so we partnered. I'm pretty sure that you know that Governor Northam has a health equity work group that is led by Dr. Janice Underwood, who is his chief director of diversity in his office. And so, yeah. That's exactly why those neighborhoods were chosen. And we do look forward into having more testing done in our culturally diverse neighborhood.
Okay. How is Harrisonburg dealing with reduced revenues caused by the economic downturn? And what cuts, if any, do you think will have to be made to city services?
Right. I can say our city manager, our finance director, executive leadership team are currently looking at ways to reduce operating expenses, not only for the remainder of this fiscal year, which runs through June, but the next fiscal year. That starts in July. Tomorrow, City Council, we have a budget work session when we will discuss more of these efforts. We don't know what we're really facing. We know that we have some challenges ahead of us. We know that once we approve this budget this month, that there's a great chance that budget is going to have to be amended. As we get our numbers in to how much money we're losing. It's just a challenging time for all of us. But I can say that our city manager, he's working very hard to make sure that we do what is needed to make sure that our city rebounds as much as possible from the challenges of COVID-19.
Well, Governor Northam is expected to announce next steps on reopening Virginia's economy sometime today. We may know about that before this interview actually airs. But I do want to go ahead and ask you, although Virginians overall have been heeding the governor's stay-at-home and business closure orders for the most part, and there seems to be some growing impatience with that. Do you think it's nearing the time to begin relaxing those restrictions? And if not, why not?
No, I don't. I think that especially here in Harrisonburg, I personally feel like we haven't met our peak yet. And I know people are anxious. I know it's a beautiful day outside today. And I know people want to get outside. But we still have a long way to go. We will continue to follow the governor's direction and enforcing his stay-at-home order and recommendations on social distancing. Now is not the time to change course. And once those orders are removed, we will consider what steps we will take locally based on what trends we are observing at the time. But I will continue to say that we still have to be responsible for each other. Until we have the, and like you said, we might know that more today when the governor gives his press conference. But until we know that those orders have been removed and it's going to keep our city healthy and safe, we should continue to practice social distancing, only go out when needed, And I'm asking everyone, and this is my personal recommendation, that everyone please wear a mask when they have to go out in public.
All right. Dina Reed is mayor of Harrisonburg. Mayor Reed, thank you very much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Stay well.
Again, you'll find that interview at WMRA.org and on the WMRA app. And Mayor Reed and I spoke before the city announced its layoffs of most part-time workers. Finally today, many of us are staying home, and we're also encountering egg shortages at our local grocery store. Well, in response, some people are forming a new wave of backyard chicken herders, buying up chicks at an unprecedented rate. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
If you've been grocery shopping in the Shenandoah Valley as of late, you've likely seen empty shelves where egg cartons used to sit, or a precious few left with signs asking customers to take only one. In response, so many people are investing in their own backyard flocks that even national suppliers, such as Cackle Hatchery in Lebanon, Missouri, are on a wait list for their newly hatched chicks, up to 8 weeks in their case.
We ship to all 50 states, and you know, I know we ship a lot to Virginia.
Jeff Smith is with Cackle Hatchery's marketing and sales department.
This is our normal peak season anyway, you know, when there's a real high demand. And then, of course, with everyone looking at self-sufficient ideas, they're turning towards backyard flock of chickens. So, yeah, we've had a tremendous demand on top of our normal peak season.
A representative from Tractor Supply's corporate office said they've also seen increased demand from returning and new customers. If you're looking for chicks from one of their stores in Harrisonburg, Stanton, or Luray, it would be good to call ahead. They get a new batch of chicks in every week, but they don't stick around long.
They were all sold over the weekend. Should hopefully be getting some more in around lunchtime on Wednesday, though.
Small producers are feeling the demand, too, including Jason Myers-Benner, a home farmer who runs the Homestead Tangley Woods with his wife Janelle in Rockingham County.
I would say it's been unprecedented in our experience. Yeah, we've been selling chicks, you know, sort of in a casual way as a side fringe of our breeding project for 4 or 5 years. You know, usually we've been able to sell what we have, but this year we could have sold 2 or 3 times what we have.
Right now, Myers-Benner has about 140 eggs in incubators, and they're all spoken for by buyers. He's developing 4 new breeds of chickens that are specifically adapted to the valley.
One of those would be a grassland adapted bird that's good for using in rotation with cattle and pasture situations. The other is designed for backyard keeping, especially in urban settings. There's another one that we've bred to try to be sort of a semi-wild, woods-oriented chicken. The fourth one is an all-around chicken, but specifically in terms of color pattern, we've tried to design that so that it can be the female half of a sex-linked hybrid cross between either the grassland bird or the backyard bird, so that hopefully as time goes along, we will have chicks that we can market to people that will be discernible as to their sex on the day they hatch. Because a lot of people want to buy just female chick.
Lee Swecker's operation over in Augusta County is more of a hobby project with his girlfriend Jen. They've gotten plenty of calls from people who want chicks, but for the time being, they're only selling a few to friends to limit their exposure to the coronavirus.
A lot of people are just wanting them for the eggs, not having to go out and stores being sold out. Yeah, I've had a lot of people asking about that. Some wanting them more so for meat, a couple people just more hobbies.
His favorite part of raising chickens?
We're on a pretty large farm, so they've got a pretty good area to run around and play and stuff. Just kind of fun watching them play. Our kids go out and play with them.
Having an educational and productive pet for her children was one reason that Paloma Salcedo bought chicks from Swecker.
So I have a 2-year-old, and I thought it would be, you know, a perfect thing for her as well to kind of like get her mind off not understanding why she can't have her friends over, not understanding why she can't go to preschool right now, you know, and also like a fun, you know, family project even for my teenagers.
Salcedo grew up around farm animals, but didn't have the time to set up a coop and go through Harrisonburg's permitting process until now. The city allows residents to have up to 6 hens as long as they live at least 500 feet away from the nearest poultry industry facility. She's had to close her daycare business due to the virus, but uses the chicks to stay in touch with the kids.
I've been putting on videos on our Facebook page to stay connected with my other kids and showing them, you know, the growth of the chickens and kind of like follow. So when they come back and we have the coop and we have the chickens, like they'll be excited about meeting them in person.
Lindsay Lamb, an orchestral musician in Harrisonburg, got chicks for her family from Tractor Supply. Luckily, she showed up at the store just before a new shipment did.
I got breeds that were well known for both being egg layers and for having a good temperament. I wanted.
Lamb had bought two pullets, or adolescent chickens, from the fair last year, but one got snatched by a predator, so she gave the other one away.
I decided to go ahead and get chicks this time because I wanted to like raise them myself so they would know me and hopefully like me a little better than my fair chickens did. It's fun having my own tiny dinosaurs.
For WMRE News, I'm Randy Behagy.
Learn more about that story on the WMRA app and at WMRA.org. There's some pretty cute pictures there, too. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Tuesday.